What if the quality of your entire life came down to a single skill? Not intelligence, not wealth, not even luck, but the ability to choose what you focus on. A cancer diagnosis could destroy you or galvanize you. A traffic jam could ruin your morning or give you 20 minutes of solitude. The difference isn't what happens to you, it's where you direct your attention. This radical insight sits at the heart of a transformative understanding. Your experience of reality is fundamentally shaped by what you choose to notice. Neuroscience confirms what mystics have known for millennia. Attention doesn't just observe your world, it creates it. Every moment, your brain selects certain stimuli to enhance while suppressing everything else, constructing a personalized version of reality from the raw material of existence. Master this selection process, and you master your life. Your brain operates like a spotlight in a darkened theater, illuminating one element while dimming others. When you focus on birdsong, you actively suppress traffic noise. This biased competition means you experience a curated version of reality, not reality itself. Two systems govern this curation. Bottom-up attention responds automatically to whatever screams loudest, bright colors, sudden movements, threats. Top-down attention is voluntary, you choosing to read this sentence despite nearby notifications. This system enabled humanity's greatest achievements through sustained focus. The invisible gorilla experiment reveals this dramatically. When people counted basketball passes in a video, half missed a person in a gorilla costume walking through the scene. We're so convinced we see everything that we fail to notice how much we're missing. Your characteristic way of focusing shapes your identity. When violinist Joshua Bell performed incognito at a Washington, D.C. subway station, only 7 of 1,070 commuters stopped to listen. Their lifelong attention to classical music had shaped their perceptual filters to recognize beauty others rushed past. What you consistently pay attention to reshapes your neural architecture, making certain perceptions easier and others harder. Thought and emotion aren't separate. They're inseparable partners constantly influencing each other. Your emotions shape what captures your attention, and what you attend to generates emotions in return, creating feedback loops that spiral toward joy or despair. We're wired with a negativity bias. Unpleasant emotions grab attention more powerfully than pleasant ones. When your mind wanders, it naturally scans for problems. Did I offend her? Is this mole cancerous? This isn't pessimism, it's evolutionary wisdom. Our ancestors who obsessed over threats survived, while optimists who ignored danger became lunch. Yet positive emotions serve equally important functions. Barbara Fredrickson's research reveals that happiness literally expands your visual field, while fear contracts it. When anxious, reality shrinks until worry consumes everything. When joyful, attention widens, inviting exploration and creative thinking. This explains why you solve problems better after a good laugh. Your expanded attention spots solutions anxiety had hidden. Your brain contains three attentional systems. The reactive component handles automatic functions, the behavioral manages learned routines, and the reflective handles conscious thought. These three pursue separate agendas, explaining why you research sensible sedans but drive home in a sports car. Your reflective brain chose practicality, but your reactive brain craved excitement and won. You can't control what happens to you, but you can control what you focus on, and that choice transforms everything. On a crowded subway, you can fixate on germs or direct attention to your book. Both perspectives are valid, but they create radically different experiences. People with obsessive-compulsive disorder show what happens when you can't shift focus from threats. Most of us function by focusing elsewhere, not denial, but strategic attention management. Different cultures make different choices. The French focus on taste and meal pleasure, while Americans fixate on nutritional content and health metrics. Research shows that looking on the bright side predicts longer, healthier, happier lives. In one Dutch study, the most optimistic individuals were 45% less likely to die during the 10-year study period. Older adults often report greater emotional well-being because they've developed skill at focusing on contentment. Elders with particularly positive attentional habits live 7.5 years longer than their pessimistic peers. The focused life isn't about forced positivity. It's about carefully tending your mental garden, shifting focus from counterproductive rumination to adaptive thoughts that serve your well-being. Attention forms the foundation of meaningful relationships. Our mirror neurons enable us to understand and empathize with others, creating bonds so powerful that soldiers wait for their bomb-detecting robots to be repaired rather than accepting replacements. They've formed attachments through shared attention. Paying attention to others predicts longer, healthier, more satisfying lives. Focusing outward prevents destructive self-rumination. Research shows employees who see how their work affects others feel more satisfied and productive. Even cancer patients show normal moods during focused social activities. Yet, despite rhetoric about family dinners being crucial, American families dine together only 17% of the time when everyone's home. We're so focused on getting ahead that we miss what's right in front of us. People with high self-esteem trust their partners value them. Those with low self-esteem crave praise while undermining relationships by focusing on partners' flaws rather than building intimacy. Maintaining relationships requires deliberate focus on positive behaviors that initially attracted you, especially as positives naturally fade while negatives remain potent. Fresh, engaging activities, not passive entertainment, strengthen bonds through meaningful shared attention. Psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi studied flow, that state of complete absorption where time flies and you act intuitively. Surprisingly, only 20% of people experience flow daily, while 15% never do. Most oscillate between stress and boredom, both unfocused states. Flow requires the right blend of novelty and familiarity, a challenge difficult enough to demand absolute focus, but not so hard it creates anxiety. Here's the paradox. Most people experience more flow at work than at home, despite claiming to prefer being off the clock. We often choose careers misaligned with our true satisfactions, the sociable person who becomes a wealthy but unhappy stockbroker instead of pursuing teaching. After work, television's immediate gratification, providing flow only 13% of the time, wins over pursuits like playing piano that require initial effort but deliver greater rewards. Fulfillment comes from choosing trouble for oneself in the direction of what one would like to become. Philosophy, religion, and psychology examine not just the external world or inner self, but awareness itself. As Simone Weil observed, attentiveness without an object is prayer in its supreme form. Buddhism transformed attention into both art and science, advocating present-moment focus and positive states like compassion. One Tibetan teacher defines mindfulness as just the mind being simple, paying attention to just being present, rather than being caught between hope and fear. Emerson echoed this. We are always getting ready to live, but never living. Eckhart Tolle translates ancient wisdom into modern terms. Watching New Yorkers speed walking, he sees our collective madness of trying to get to the next moment, which they believed would be better than this one. Yet, the clock's hands move, but it's always now. Research on savoring, mindful focus on positive feelings, shows satisfaction depends more on attention than circumstances. People who walked daily focusing on positive things became happier. Those focusing on negatives became less happy. Your life's quality depends on where you direct your attention. In a world designed to capture and exploit it, reclaiming control isn't just productivity, it's liberation. Every moment offers a choice. Let your attention be hijacked by whatever screams loudest, or deliberately direct it toward what matters most.